Well, it's time to hear from Jesus, the living word, who is able to build us up and give us an inheritance, the scripture says, doesn't it? An inheritance amongst those who are being sanctified. What's an inheritance? It's wealth to draw on, isn't it? The word is able to give us wealth. Bye-bye, Joey Lee. Wealth to draw from. And we have been given the most valuable inheritance. It's more valuable than any natural inheritance. It's more valuable than money. It's more valuable than anything material, any natural wealth. Because it doesn't just change natural circumstances, does it? It changes bodies, changes minds, hearts, emotions, relationships. There is no area that our riches in Christ cannot change for the better. And I've really been praying for us this week as a church that we would receive revelation of the riches of our inheritance. And I'd like you just to put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you and pray that their eyes and ears will be open this morning, that they will receive revelation of the riches of their inheritance in Christ. Praise God. Well, last Sunday we heard a brilliant message from Pastor Judith on victory in difficult times. And she kept using the phrase, I hope you remember it, we're in it to win it, or I'm in it to win it. No matter what we go through, the tough times, and they are at times, things can be really tough. No matter what we go through, we're in it to win it. And that's the mindset the Lord wants us to have. He doesn't want us to go through life with a victim mindset. Pushed around by life, pushed around by circumstances, acting like we're the bottom of the chain. You know, I've got a picture of a mouse I'd like you to look at. There we go. Sweet, really, isn't it? But you know, you can almost hear its little heart beating, 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 running around, looking around, you know, what's coming after me next. And sometimes I think I will put myself there, sometimes I can behave like that. And I know that is not the will of God for me, to think like that or to act like that. He wants us to reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. He wants us to act like, there you go, the lion. To reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. He that is in me is greater. The righteous are as bold as a lion. And the Lord compares himself and us to lions for very good reason. A lion's not afraid of anything, is it? The lion doesn't spend his days looking over his shoulder thinking what's coming next, like the mouse. It's strong. It's courageous. You know, they rule. And he doesn't want us to live in fear. Fear of the enemy, fear of people, fear of what's going to happen next. And I was talking to somebody this week who's really been tossed to and fro by circumstances, and frankly they were quite battle weary. And I just said to them, after listening for a little while, I just felt to say to them, do you know what? Your God is too small and your devil's too big. And I think that can happen to all of us. We lose perspective. And without even realizing, we've magnified the devil and we've minimized God. And I said, you need to stop magnifying the devil and start magnifying God. The Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. And sometimes we do lose perspective, and sometimes we do lose strength, and even the will to fight, you know, when things are really tough. But if we go to the Lord, he reminds us of who he is, and he reminds us of who we are as well. Doesn't he? You know? And so that you get strength back, you also get this right perspective back. So that you can go in the strength of God. You can run and not grow weary. Psalm 18 is one of my personal favorites. And that whole psalm is a picture of how David was taken out of weakness into strength. He started out weak, battle weary. The enemy, it actually says, my enemy is too strong for me. And yet he goes to the Lord in this weakness. And it says the Lord rescues him out of many, many waters and sets his feet in a broad place, enlarges the path from, you know, under him. So he strengthens David so that, you know, it's like initially the Lord deals with the enemy for David, but then he strengthens David so that David himself goes after his enemies. beats them as fine as the dust, gives him the necks of his enemies. There's a transfer of strength from the Lord to him. And I love that because the Lord wants us to be brave hearts. Like King David. King David was a brave heart. I don't know if any of you have seen that film years ago. I think it was Mel Gibson, wasn't it? Acting the role of William Wallace. And he wants us to be like that. You come against me, I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. So we're not called to live in fear of the enemy. We're called to rule over him, know who we are and act who we are. And I want to speak this morning, we've been singing about it, but I want to speak about the name of Jesus. Think about a name. My name is Andrea Lisa Aspinall. You might not know my middle name, but there you go. It's an okay name. I can think of nicer names. I can think of worse names. It's an okay name, but it's the name I've been given. It's the name I respond to. And naturally speaking, our identity is tied up in our name, isn't it? And also, your authority is in your name. My authority is in my name. If I sign my name to something, I give my authority to it. My name enables me to go places, and it enables me to do things. When David and I first were married, I don't know which one of us had the bright idea, but that we were going to join the National Trust. And that's what we did, and we both got membership. We both had the membership cards, and we used them probably less than half a dozen times, didn't we? But the point was, those cards with our names on enabled us to get into the National Trust properties and enjoy whatever they had to offer. The names gave us access. You get a table in a restaurant in your name, don't you? You get a seat on a plane by booking in your name. You're allowed to go through passport control into the departure lounge because you have a ticket with your name on it and you have a passport with your name on it. But my name, the same as your name, is limited. There are certain places we can go, but there are certain places in your name and in my name that we can't go. If I turned up to Buckingham Palace, I wouldn't get in on my name. If I went to 10 Downing Street and knocked on the door, my name wouldn't let me in. I'd probably be escorted away very quickly by the policeman outside. Our names enable us to do some things, but they limit us from doing others. Think of brand names. Okay, brand names. Certain brand names give you confidence. Other brand names you kind of shy away from. They make you feel a little bit uneasy, a little bit uncertain. If I was to mention different car manufacturers or technology brand names or banks or supermarkets, and we were to have a show of hands and I actually mentioned names, some of you would be like, oh yes, yes, absolutely reliable, always go for that. And others of you would be like, absolutely not, are you kidding? Wouldn't cross the threshold. It would be a mixed response because we all have preferences. We all have things we prefer and other things we kind of pull away from. Personally, with baked beans, I've tried a lot of brands. And there's only one brand that I will buy, even if it means I have to pay another 20p or whatever it is. I will only buy that particular brand because, in my opinion, it's a superior can of beans. You know, I know that that can of beans will deliver. It does what it says on the tin, you know. It's a good brand. Stop it. It's a good brand. The brand gives me confidence, okay? Brands, okay, so brands give us confidence. Brands, he's terrible, isn't he? Bless him. Brands also give us access. Think of passwords. You know, we all have different passwords, or we should have different passwords for different websites. I find that a challenge. I don't know about you, remembering which password goes where. You know, it was only recently I learned that I should have a different password for every site. And I thought, oh my goodness, right, okay. But these names, they give us access and they give us confidence. But there is one name that stands alone. One name that is higher than all other names. And of course, that name, let's all say it together, is the name Jesus. Okay. Philippians 2, verse 9 says this. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. There is no greater name. There is no higher name than the name of Jesus. No other name will give you greater confidence. No other name will give you greater access. No other name is more powerful than the name of Jesus. Let's let that sit. When God made his promise of blessing to Abraham, he actually swore by himself. We're going to look at the scripture, Hebrews 6, verse 13. It says, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself." Now, I think that's kind of funny in a way. It's like he looked round and thought to himself, "Well, there is no one greater. I will have to swear by myself." There is no one greater to uphold the promise in your life. There is no greater name than the name of Jesus. God knows it. The angels know it. The demons know it. Do you know James chapter 2 verse 19 says, "Even the demons believe and tremble." We need to know it, church. I need to know it in a different way than I ever have before. I need to recognize that there is power and authority in the name of Jesus. Just say to the person next to you, there is power in the name of Jesus. So it's not just a nice way to end a prayer. You know, I think we can get so religious in the way we pray. I can get so religious in the way I pray. I just trot these things off in the name of Jesus. I don't really think about what I'm doing, whose name I'm using. We kind of use his name like a lucky charm. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. I'll just throw that in for good measure. But when we speak things, when we pray things, when we command things in the name of Jesus, we do it representing him, acting on his behalf with his delegated authority and power. We've been given his name. We've been brought into his family. Now, believe it or not, it was 5 years ago that Catherine Middleton and Prince William got married. 29th of April, 2011. Just over 5 years ago. When I heard that, I thought, gosh, that went quick. But I was thinking about that. On that day, 5 years ago, she was brought into the royal family. She was given a royal name. She was given rights and privileges and authority. Her life, from that day, changed significantly. Everything changed. She could go to Buckingham Palace and she would be let in, wouldn't she? You know, people will now bow and curtsy when they see her, because they recognize her title and they recognize her position. We have come into relationship and union with somebody far greater than Prince William. Somebody far higher than Prince William. We are in relationship with the Lord God Almighty. We have been given his name, his good name, his powerful name, his glorious and awesome name, scripture says. And with that come rights. Just like she has rights now, we have rights. We have privileges and we have authority. Turn with me to Acts chapter 3. You getting something out of this morning? I've prayed you will, so I believe you will. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple." What a life. Think of that, lame from birth. You know, it's good to really think about scripture when you read it. It turns out he was 40 years old. I don't know how I know that, but he was. We're told it must be in a different translation. It gives more details, but for 40 years, carried every day to beg at the entrance of the temple. Verse 3, "who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.'" Maybe his eyes were down. Maybe he was so ashamed he couldn't even look at the people. He was just reaching out his hand, hoping for some compassion. But Peter said, look at us. Verse 5, so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Peter and John were conscious of what they had. They knew they didn't have silver and gold. They didn't have any loose change in their pockets. But they didn't think, oh, we've got no money, we'll just walk on by. Because they knew actually they had something more valuable to give. What they could give this man would be life-changing. What they could give this man was supernatural. Let's just read verse 6 again. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, hear the confidence in that, what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. They knew they had his name. They knew they had authority and power in his name. As if Jesus was there in person speaking. In his physical body. They knew that when they spoke in his name, it's as if he was literally there in person speaking. They had faith in the name, and they had faith in their delegated authority and power. I've written down here, they weren't focused on what they didn't have. I think the enemy so often wants us to be so focused on what we don't have, so focused on how inadequate we feel in that situation. But they weren't focused on the lack. They were focused on what they did have. They dared to believe what they did have, and they dared to use it. Look at verse 7. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. When we step out and use his name in faith, natural things have to submit. Physical bodies have to submit. Bodies have to change. Circumstances have to change. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. Now the people were amazed. You can read about it in the next few verses. They were amazed. As you can imagine, 40 years. They've been very used to seeing this man sitting there begging. They were amazed, and they started to look at Peter and John like, who are these people? You know, as if they'd done it. But look at verse 12. When Peter saw it, he responded to the people. Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we'd made this man walk? And then it goes on to explain that the power doesn't come from us. It comes from God. Look at verse 16. And his name, through faith, keyword, in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness. I love that, in the presence of you all. I just want to say to every one of you this morning, and even to myself, we need more faith in the name of Jesus. We need more faith in the name of Jesus. You might be sitting there thinking, well, I've prayed before in the name of Jesus and it hasn't worked. If your phone had a flat battery and you tried using it and it didn't work, would it be fair to blame the manufacturer? Come on. Really, would it? Of course it wouldn't. You just need to plug it in and get some charge on it. And we, you know, I kind of say it to you not as a, you know, you need to do this. I say to myself, to all of us, we need to plug in and get some more charge. Because we need to have faith in the name of Jesus. There's no point trying to operate in faith and to use the name of Jesus willy-nilly unless there's some genuine faith power behind that prayer or behind that command. You know, we just need to plug into him and get some faith charge. Verse 16 there shows us clearly it's not just using the name that works. Because come on, we've all done it many, many times, prayed in the name of Jesus, and it hasn't worked. It's through faith. To say to the person next to you, through faith in his name. Through faith in his name, the power is released. Peter and John were confident in what they were carrying. I was thinking about these motorcyclists that carry blood and human organs between hospitals and things. You've seen them on the roads. Apparently a lot of those people, these motorcyclists, they're volunteers. I found that amazing when I heard that. But, you know, they carry these human organs or blood around, and they know that on board they have the ability to save lives. On board, church, we have the ability to save lives, don't we? And when we look at natural circumstances, often, particularly in extreme situations, it can be quite tempting to feel intimidated. And quite tempting to think, oh my goodness, that's a big one, you know. Some of the prayer requests we get in are for extremely difficult situations, people in crisis, people really needing a miracle. And if we think about the details of that, picture them lying in the bed with all the tubes and wires and everything, your faith can go out the window. And the enemy lies as well, and he will always say, oh, you've not got enough faith for that. I wouldn't even bother praying for that. Anybody heard that one? Look at what Jesus says. Luke chapter 17, verse 6. He says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed. Has anybody seen a mustard seed? It's tiny. It's like the full stop on your page. It's like minute. If you've got faith as small as that, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Thing is, we've heard that so many times. When you hear the word so many times and you don't see evidence of it, unbelief can set in. But we need our minds renewing. Just say, Lord, I believe it, help me see it. I believe it, help me see it. But when we're faced with these challenging things, you know, we can feel intimidated. We can feel overwhelmed. And you know the proverb that says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. You know, times like that, when you hear bad news or you've got something, you're faced with something extreme. I've learned to run to the Lord, you know, because he's a strong tower. He's our refuge point. And God is love, and the perfect love of God casts out fear. You just spend time in the presence of the Lord and you pray and you ask the Lord to speak. And then you get hold of a promise and you let that promise get hold of you. Fear grips your heart. You know, the times, there'll be times, I'm not talking about everyday things, but the extreme things in life. You can almost have a physical feel like, you know, your breathing's getting a bit short, and it's awful, isn't it? Fear like that. His presence and his love casts out fear, and his word lifts us. It lifts us from that horrible, panicky, feel like the ground's going from underneath you place, and sets you back on the rock. With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And you've just got to meditate on whatever promise you're given, so that becomes bigger than the problem. So that becomes stronger than the problem in your head. And then you speak to the mountain or you speak to the mulberry tree, whatever the issue is, with faith in the name of Jesus. Because, of course, faith comes from the word. It's not anything we can manufacture ourselves. It just comes from time meditating on the word. So I am not just Andrea Lisa Aspinall. I am Andrea Lisa Aspinall in Christ. I am not just a natural person with natural limitations, and neither are you. We've been given his name, and we've been given his authority and his power to change things. I want you to use your name, and I want you to use your full name. You know, if you've got six names altogether, use all six of them. But I just want you to say, I'm not just David Edward Aspinall, Sandra Elizabeth Mathers, Caroline Louise McConville, Daniel Seamus McConville. They're the ones I know. Don't just, right? I'm not just that person. I'm Daniel Seamus McConville in Christ, okay? Just say it out loud. Use your own name. I'm whoever you are in Christ. Does you good to hear it, doesn't it? We are in him and he is in us. Look, it's hard to get your head around that. We are in him, he is in us. But it's like this. Look at this. Bottle in the sea. That's how I see it. The bottle is in the sea, and the sea is in the bottle. We're in the greater one, and the greater one is in us. And the enemy likes to lie and try to get us to see ourselves separated, empty and dry, natural, just natural people, dry and empty, but we're not. This is the thing, we're not, and we mustn't be led by our feelings. Come on, church, we've got to grow up and not be so tossed to and fro by how we feel. We've got to believe the truth and just exalt it above how we feel. Because we all have good days and we all have bad days. No matter how we feel, we have his authority. No matter how we feel, we have his name. And there is power in his name to bring change. For as he is, 1 John 4:17 says, for as he is, so are we in this world. It doesn't say as he was. Have you ever thought about that? As he was, the suffering servant. No. As he is, the triumphant, risen King, Lord over all, risen, glorified, as he is. The Lion of Judah over all, as he is, so are we in this world. And if you're not seeing much triumph in your life, I encourage you, meditate on the triumphant one in you. Meditate on all the in Christ, through Christ, in him, through him scriptures. And there are lots of them. You will turbocharge your faith. If you've not done that, do it. I've gone through several Bibles, well, the New Testament, in underlining all the in Christ, in him, through Christ, through him. And oh my goodness, faith comes, doesn't it? You're energized. You know, like that plug being put in the socket, you're charged. So that we start to live who we really are. Sons of God, made in the image of God, to do the works of God. We're not pushovers. We shouldn't be. You're not a featherweight. No matter what lies the enemy has spun and put in your head, you're not that mouse. You need to think like a lion. Gentle and humble in heart, but still a lion. That's you. We need to become more conscious of his overcoming life in us. That's what really I've had on my heart all week, for myself and for all of us. We need to become more conscious of his overcoming life in us. Not in an arrogant or overbearing way. That's not how Jesus did it. But bold, ruling over powers and principalities in the spirit realm. Because we're kings, with a small k, under the King of Kings. Now we're going to finish with our watchword for this year. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. Kings under the King of Kings. That's you. Okay, Romans 5:17. This is the word that the Lord has given us as a church this year. It's kind of the umbrella word that every other message is going to fit under. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign, does your Bible say reign? Yes. Reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Look, through Adam, one man, death reigned. Adam, he lost his authority and power through sin. He was over Satan. Because of sin, he came under Satan. He lost his right to rule. Jesus came, he won it back for us. He won back our authority and power to rule. He took us from under Satan and put us over him. Ephesians 2 verse 6 says he's raised us up to sit in heavenly places in him. Do you think Jesus is over Satan? Yes. Not half. If we're in him, where are we? Over. Under our feet. We can reign in life because of what we've been given and where we're positioned. By his gift of grace and righteousness, we can reign in life through him. Notice it's not apart from him, separated from him, through him, through faith in his name. Now I'm going to finish with this picture. It's of an undercover cop or an undercover policeman. For me, this is really helpful. I often think about this. The badge gives him authority. Because he carries that badge, he has authority to rule. Because he has a weapon, he has power to rule. Okay, get that? The badge represents his authority. The weapon gives him power. Colossians 2:15 says, Jesus has disarmed principalities and powers. Satan has been disarmed. We, in Christ, have been armed. He's given us the badge and the gun back. We have his authority and power to rule in his name. Now, you might walk around looking like a civilian, even feeling like a civilian, but in the spirit, God knows. The devil knows. Any angel or demon knows. You carry a badge and you have a weapon. You have authority and power to rule in his name. You have the legal right to operate like that in the spirit. Look, I want you to look at this and see it with your own eyes in your own Bible. Turn to Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. Do you find that helpful? I love that. That helps me. To be honest, I read it in a book, and ever since I've read it, it's remained with me and it's really helped me. In the spirit, I've got the badge and the gun. I've got the authority and the power. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Hear that, church. One of the things I've heard several people say is, oh, well, I've been doing a lot for the Lord recently. The enemy's bound to, you know, there's bound to be some sort of whiplash come back from the enemy. Absolutely not. Where's your faith? You've got authority over him, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Okay? We can rule over powers of darkness without any fear of any reprisals. Hear that. In Jesus' name, we can rule without any fear. So we can pray in his name, but he also wants us to command in his name. We can pray. Look, I know you know this, but you need to hear it. You can hear and you can hear. Like, you can listen and you can hear, but we've got to do both. Don't just listen, hear it. We can pray in his name, but he also wants us to command in his name. I've got a slide, and I want you to just read this. Sometimes, instead of doing something for us, God wants to do something through us. When we pray, he does something for us. But when we command, using our faith, using our authority, he does something through us. There's a time to pray and there's a time to command. Now, don't let that confuse you and don't let that worry you. Just as you're led by the Spirit, you'll know what to do when, okay? The Holy Spirit will show you. Personally, when I'm praying, if I sense a real kind of righteous indignation or anger at the enemy, I know it's time to command, to use my authority. Because we've been given authority and he wants us to use it. If you think about those disciples in the boat, you know, in Mark 5, the waves were, you know, coming over the side of the boat. They were in a storm. It looked like they were going to lose their lives. What did they do? They prayed. They talked to Jesus. What is talking to Jesus? Prayer. Jesus, help. We're going to drown. Don't you care that we're sinking? They asked Jesus to help. That's prayer. And what did he say to them? Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Come on. You've got faith. You've got authority. If you'd used your faith and your authority, you could have calmed that storm. That's commanding. So our challenge, church, I know a lot of you like a challenge. A lot of you do these crazy physical challenges, the Tough Mudder thing and the Iron Man challenge. That takes a lot of commitment and determination. But we have a challenge that's even more important than things like that. we have a spiritual challenge, and that is to grow our faith so that we believe in our authority. Grow your faith so that you believe in your authority. No one can do this for you. We all have to do it for ourselves. But we can have faith that will calm storms. Faith in our authority to calm storms. Faith in our authority to slay giants. Faith in our authority to uproot mulberry trees. Storms and circumstances. Giants that threaten and intimidate us. If we have faith in our authority, we can slay them. Problems that seem so deep-rooted and so complex. You know, the mulberry tree has very deep roots, a very complex root system. That's why Jesus used it. He said, you know, he's essentially saying, no matter how complicated the problem seems, how deep-rooted it seems to be, if you have faith in your authority, you can uproot that thing. Let's go back to the policeman. We really are going to finish with this. So that is you, and that's me. We might all wear civilian clothes. You might look like your non-Christian work colleagues and family and friends. But underneath, we carry this badge. And underneath, we carry this gun, this weapon. The badge means authority. The weapon means we have power at our disposal. Just say to the person next to you, in the spirit, you have his badge and you have his weapon. And now I want you to tell them what that means. What does that mean? You just said something, parrot fashion. Tell them now what that means. Now, naturally speaking, think about this naturally. Wouldn't it be terrible if a group of armed police officers stood doing nothing while criminals went on the rampage? You would be horrified, wouldn't you? So would I. That's how it is in the spirit. And in the past, we may have used the excuse, well, I didn't have faith. I didn't have faith in my authority and I didn't have faith in my power. You know, I didn't believe that I looked like that in the spirit. That's why we need to grow our faith. That's why we need to know who we are and what we can do so that we can walk around like Jesus as he is. So are we in this world. Okay, let's stand to our feet.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.